I was looking through a commentary on the first reading we heard today from 1 Kings. And the author cited how many ancient cultures distinguished four distinct elements: earth, air, fire, and water. Those four, as a kind of primitive and maybe intuitive realm or guess at chemistry. Because those four elements correspond to the three states of matter and then energy. Earth being solid, air being gaseous, water as liquid, but fire serving as energy. Now, as we heard in that first reading that I referenced, it was by means of earth, wind, and fire, those three of those aforementioned natural forces, not earth, wind, and fire, the pioneers of funk soul music, earth, wind, and fire, that God showed Elijah both where he could be found and conversely where he was not to be found. I've long been fascinated with that reading from Elijah. Just to set it in its context, the great prophet of Elijah of the Jewish people, after so powerfully demonstrating the strength of God on Mount Carmel, calling down fire from the sky, well, suddenly now he's cowering in fear and insecurity. And it came by virtue of what followed that great spectacle, that sign of God's power on Mount Carmel. What followed was Queen Jezebel's murderous threats. And again, he cowered and ran in fear. Fearing for his life, he went into hiding. And soon after that, he was prompted by an angel of the Lord to go to the place called Mount Horeb. We also know it as anybody know its other name? Mount Sinai. Don, remind me to give you your gold star after Mass. Mount Sinai. And like Moses, he remained there 40 days and nights seeking consolation, but also direction from God. As Elijah waited there, specifically in a cave, he experienced various natural phenomena, as we heard, left to determine, was that God? Was that God? Wait, what was that God? He first heard the wind, then crushing rocks, earthquake, and finally fire. None of it was with God, but instead merely an echo of the calamity of the world from which he had fled. But Elijah kept listening. After all that calamitous phenomena, he waited and waited until what followed was a tiny whispering sound, like the sound of a soft breeze. We're told that upon hearing it, Elijah hid his face in his cloak. And we might wonder, why? It's been suggested that that whisper sound that he heard was the very voice that spoke at the beginning of creation, speaking the elements of the universe into being and speaking them into harmonious order. Yes, even the prophet Elijah, great as he was, had never received God's guidance in that manner. And it caused him to recoil in humility. As we know, it requires silence and even stillness if we are to hear a soft whisper. In our busy and technological culture, we are so immersed in noise and activity throughout our day. And if we do not intentionally make time and create a quiet space, we will never find the silence that our souls so desperately need. Because all we manage to hear is a combination of the noise around us and the noise within us. If there is indeed truth in the notion that silence is where we find God, then we can only, rather than he can only show up when we shut up. In his book, The Power of Silence, Cardinal Robert Seurat says it this way: a tree grows in silence. Springs of water flow at first in the silence of the ground. The sun that rises over the earth in its splendor and grandeur, it warms us in silence. What is extraordinary, he says, is always silent. In his mother's womb, an infant grows in silence. Our blood flows through our veins, making no noise. And our heartbeats can only be heard in silence. May we, when we pray, endeavor to close our eyes, put our hands together, to bow our heads, bend our knees, recognizing that these postures are a way of quieting our consciousness and allowing the body to surrender to the quiet that we need and where God likely desires to speak to us. But what do you think would happen if you were to assume these postures? Maybe when you go home, maybe tonight before you go to bed, or tomorrow or any other time. What do you think is really going to happen? Do we think that God will speak to us in the way that we are accustomed to hearing others speak to us? Well, it wasn't so with Elijah in that cave on Mount Horeb, and I suspect it will not be for you either. Instead, he will more likely speak to you in your heart, something more like that tiny whispering sound that nonetheless manages to speak peace to you, to communicate love to you, and the joy that you bring to him. After so much fear and doubt, after so much calamitous noise, it was finally in that gentle and mysterious experience that Elijah recovered his sense of self and could understand how to move forward as God's servant. I suspect many of us need to discover a truer sense of self and to know how God would will to move us. The question is, will you make time and space to listen? I'll close with the words of the Carthusian monk, Dom Augustin Guilleron. He says it this way: solitude and silence are guests of the soul. The soul that possesses them carries them with it everywhere. But the one that lacks them finds them nowhere. In order to re-enter silence, it is enough, not enough, to stop the movement of one's lips, or even the movement of one's thoughts. That is only being quiet. Being quiet is a necessary condition for silence, but it is not silence. Silence is a word. Silence is a word and a thought in which all words and all thoughts are.